All right, so get ready to dive into a case that really shows how much personal lives and courtroom drama can get mixed up. Like, imagine you're in court, right, and facing a serious charge, and you think your lawyers totally got your back, but what if you found out they were, like, secretly dating the prosecutor the whole time?
Yeah, talk about a conflict of interest.
Yeah, seriously, it's wild. And that's what happened in this People v. Jackson case way back in 1985. And it, like, shook the legal world.
Yeah, and it wasn't just, like, a gossip thing, you know. This case made people really rethink legal ethics and conflicts of interest in a major way.
Right, like, how can justice really be served if it even looks like there's divided loyalties going on in the courtroom?
Exactly.
Okay, so let's go back to 1985. David Jackson is on trial for a pretty heavy offense, assault with intent to commit rape. And to make things even more serious, there's a deadly weapon involved. Mm-hmm. It's a super high stakes for this guy. So he's assigned a court-appointed attorney. Pretty standard. But here's where it gets crazy. Jackson had no idea that his lawyer and the prosecutor had actually been secretly dating for 8 months before the charges were even filed.
Oh.
And get this, they kept seeing each other all through the trial. Like dinners, movies, the whole deal.
You know, it really makes you think about the Sixth Amendment, right? The one that guarantees everyone the right to counsel. And part of that is the right to a lawyer who's only looking out for you, not someone else.
Totally. Like, how can you possibly trust that your lawyer is fighting for you when they're, like, romantically involved with the person who's trying to put you away?
It just creates this cloud of suspicion, even if nothing shady actually happened.
So Jackson finds out, and of course he's not happy about it. He fires his lawyer and demands a new trial. But the court was like, nope, no harm, no foul. They basically ignored the whole secret dating thing.
Yeah, kind of hard to believe they did that, looking back on it.
I know, right?
Yeah.
But I guess back then, people weren't as aware of conflicts of interest as they are now. Luckily, this case didn't end there. It went up to the California Court of Appeal, and they made a ruling that totally changed things.
So what happened at the Court of Appeal? It sounds like they weren't playing around.
Oh, they were serious. The Court of Appeal completely overturned what the lower court had said. And their reason was really interesting. They said, even the possibility of divided loyalties is enough to mess with the defendant's Sixth Amendment rights. They didn't need to, like, prove that the relationship actually hurt Jackson's case. Just the chance of it was enough.
Wow. So it wasn't about if the lawyer actually did something wrong, but more about whether the whole situation just seemed unfair.
Yeah. They were basically saying justice isn't just about what happens in the courtroom. It's about what people see, too. If it looks like there's bias, people lose trust in the system.
Right. Like, justice must not only be done, but must also be seen to be done, right?
That's it. And this case really brought that idea into the spotlight when it comes to legal representation. I see. If I was Jackson, I wouldn't feel great knowing my lawyer is hanging out with the prosecutor, even if they say nothing shady is going on.
Exactly. And the court used this interesting idea called informed speculation. They said there was enough there to raise serious questions about whether the lawyer was truly looking out for Jackson's best interests, even if they couldn't point to specific examples.
Huh. Like, you'd always wonder if maybe the defense attorney didn't push hard enough on certain things because of their relationship with the prosecutor.
Right, you just never know for sure, and that doubt is enough to make the whole trial seem unfair.
Okay, I'm getting why this case was such a big deal, but what does it mean for lawyers, like, practically? How much do they have to share? Do they have to report every time they run into opposing counsel at the store?
That's a great question. This case really highlighted the ethical dilemmas that can pop up. Basically, lawyers need to be super aware of anything that could make it seem like they're not 100% objective. We aren't talking about casual encounters, but stuff like close friendships, family connections, money stuff, and definitely romantic relationships, those need to be disclosed to the client and the court.
So being open and honest is really important.
Yeah, transparency is key.
What happens if a lawyer doesn't say anything?
Well, as we saw with Jackson, a conviction could be overturned. Even if there's no proof of wrongdoing, the court might think the trial wasn't fair and order a new one or even drop the charges altogether.
So the consequences for lawyers are pretty serious if they don't handle this stuff right.
Yeah, it's not just about avoiding getting in trouble. It's about keeping the whole justice system trustworthy. If people think things are being decided based on personal connections instead of the law, the whole system falls apart. This case is a reminder that everyone needs to be careful, because personal and professional lives can get mixed up in tricky ways, and lawyers have to navigate that ethically.
It's a real wake-up call for the whole legal profession, isn't it? Like, wow, you got to be careful. Personal stuff can really create ethical problems you wouldn't even think of.
Definitely. It's a reminder that lawyers have this big responsibility, not just to their client, but to the whole justice system. Sometimes doing the right thing means making tough choices, even if it could mess up a personal relationship.
Right, because you can't let feelings get in the way of, you know, making sure justice is served.
Exactly. The stakes are just too high for that.
It makes you wonder, like, after this whole thing, did anything change? Did People v. Jack then lead to any real changes in how the legal world works?
Oh, yeah, it definitely did. One big thing was that a lot of places started using stricter ways to check for conflicts of interest. Like, law firms and prosecutors' offices got way more careful about finding and dealing with potential problems. They even started using, like, special software to compare client lists and see if there are any connections between lawyers and people involved in a case. It's not perfect, but it's an extra layer of, like, making sure things are above board.
So technology is helping to keep things ethical, which makes sense. But in the end, it still comes down to lawyers making the right choices, right? What advice would you give to people in the legal field based on all this? How can they avoid these kinds of situations?
I think the most important thing is to be open and talk about it. If you're even a little bit unsure if a relationship might be a conflict of interest, talk to someone, a colleague, a mentor, or someone who knows a lot about ethics. Don't try to figure it out alone. And always write down what you've talked about in your client files, just in case. It's always better to be safe than sorry.
So being transparent, keeping records, getting advice, that's all good stuff for lawyers. But what about the rest of us, the people who aren't lawyers? Why should we care about this case?
This case is important for everyone because it's about whether our justice system is fair for everybody. We all depend on the legal system to work things out, protect our rights, and make sure things are fair. When it even looked like something shady is going on, people start to lose trust in the whole system. And that's bad for everyone.
Yeah, if people don't believe in the system, then things can fall apart pretty quickly. It makes you think about all the other things that might be going on behind the scenes that could be affecting decisions without anyone knowing.
Exactly. And it reminds us that we have to keep an eye on things, ask for transparency, and make sure everyone has a fair chance in court no matter what. That's what real justice means.
This deep dive has been really eye-opening. The People v. Jackson case is a powerful example of how fragile justice is. Things can go wrong, not just because of bad intentions, but even because of situations that look like there might be a conflict of interest. And that's something we all need to think about.
It is. And maybe one last thing for our listeners to consider is this. How would you feel if you were David Jackson sitting in that courtroom, not knowing that your lawyer and the prosecutor were, you know, involved? Would you trust that the system was really on your side? It's something to think about because it reminds us how important it is to be careful, be open and honest, and do things the right way so that everyone gets a fair chance at justice.